Samuel chapter 27, and you'll see David continues his, I don't know if you want to say his run or his life as he goes about it. There's a lot of lessons that happen to him that are good for me and you. So when you look, as I say, in chapter number 27, it's just 12 verses, but I think most of the time, and I know I always did, I always thought, man, David was a rather perfect example of a Christian, and a perfect example of a king, and a perfect example of, you know, somebody that followed God. But let me just tell you, and we'll probably, hopefully, see this tonight, that David wasn't near as perfect as I wanted him to be in my mind. David was a man just like the rest of us. And even though the Scripture does say he was a man after God's own heart, he still had some issues, still had some problems. So look with me, if you will, here in chapter number 27. And if you remember in chapter 26, David again had an opportunity to do away with King Saul. And because of his stand that he made, the things that he said, I won't do that. I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. So remember the story how that, you know, David again tells King Saul, I could have, but I didn't. And, you know, please leave me alone or tell me what I've done wrong. Let's get this thing straightened up. And then again, Saul has one of them moments where he, you know, gets sorry and weeps and makes an apology. And then, of course, if you remember, at the very last thing, this is the last time Saul would ever see David. Saul doesn't know it, and David doesn't know it, but this is the last time they'll be together. And Saul tells David in verse 25 of chapter 26, he said, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things and also shalt prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So they've separated, gone their different ways. Chapter 27, verse 1 says, and David said in his heart, all right, David begins to think about everything that's gone on, everything that's happened. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man in his with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David fled and was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more, or sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Girgashites and the Jezreelites and the Amalekites. For all those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, even as thou goest to Shur, even into the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, against the south of Jeremiah, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you for loving us and for blessing us, giving us this time here tonight. Lord, just bless your word. Let it go out as you have deemed it to do. Let it speak to our hearts. Let us show us some lessons tonight. And may we just learn from David and his life and some things that you're not pleased with and how that we ought to find ourselves many times in those situations. We ought to turn to you. And God, if there's somebody here lost, somebody just needs to come get some things right, speak to their hearts this evening. We'll thank you and we'll love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, we're going to look at this whole verse, and this is what we're going to call it, when faith falters. When faith falters. As you listen and I read this entire chapter, I hope that you can see this is the fact in David's life. He is having some issues with faith. He's having some issues with faith. And, you know, we look at some people sometimes. Like I say, we look at David and we don't think anything's ever wrong with him. There's something here wrong with him, okay? I mean, there's something. And then again, sometimes we look at him and say, well, shame on him. Yeah, well, shame on me and you too, because we can, and many times we do go through the same problems. Last week we talked about temptation and how to handle that. And David seemed to handle that situation pretty good. This one, he makes a big mess. Okay? So let's look at David and see what in the world he is doing when his faith falters. All right? Notice, first of all, I think you can kind of see things in this light, that things don't just drop off a hill all of a sudden. But I want you to notice in the beginning, you see that David's faith begins to flicker. I mean, it's not like he's just totally, you know, gone away from everything in the Lord's direction and in what the Lord wants to do. But he's beginning to fail and falter in some of these areas that he ought to do better in. Can I tell you, me and you, we ought to do better too, okay? You and I ought to do better. First of all, we need to do something sometimes to check our inward. We need to look on the inside of us and let's see what we've just said, what we've just thought, or how maybe we've just made a plan. Listen to what it says in verse number 1. And David said in his heart. David's sitting there and he's beginning to think. And so all of this stuff he's thinking and he's planning and he's plotting, this is all going on the inside of his own heart. Listen to what he says. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me anymore in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. I want to ask you this question. When you think about checking your ear, let me tell you, this is one thing you ought to do. Ask yourself, who knows best? Who knows best for you? Do you see what David said? David said, there is nothing better for me than to escape, that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. He said, I know what the best thing for me to do. You ever done that to yourself? I know what's best for me. I know how to figure it out. I know what I'm going to do. Let me just sit here and think about it. Oh, yeah, here's what I think. Isn't it amazing how you and I can get in trouble thinking those things? I mean, what I'm saying this is what we do. This is what we do. And if you're not careful, you're beginning to see a flicker of David's faith, because it moves on to this second thought. As you check with your inward, you better be sure and check with God on these things. Now, there's been other times when David was getting ready to do something. David was getting ready to maybe attack somebody go to this place or that place. And he would call for the priest and he would say, bring the ephod and let's consult God. As you look at these verses we just looked at, you don't see him asking God anything. I'll tell you, your faith will begin to flicker when you and I fail to check with God. David is like, well, here's what I think I'll do. I mean, have you prayed about it? Have you consulted with the God about it? Have you asked the Lord and said, Lord, am I making the right decision? I'm telling you, your faith will flicker sometimes when you get in charge and you say, God, I got this. And can I tell you, anybody in this room, including me, we can do those things if we're not careful. We can say, oh, well, God, here's what I think. I'm going to tell you, God don't care a lot of times what me and you think. He wants us to follow and trust Him. Because David said, as he's sitting there thinking, there is nothing better for me. Woo, what a statement. This is what's best for me. I want to tell you, God only alone knows what's best for us. Amen? I mean, He knows a whole lot better than we do. Because if we go out on that limb, if we step out on that place, hey, it just might not be where God wants you to go. How many times do you remember us studying in the book of Acts, and Paul wanted to go somewhere and be with this church or talk to these people? He said, but he was let hitherto. In other words, the Spirit of God would not give him the leeway to go that way. So you know what Paul did? He just listened to God, and things turned out a whole lot better. Here, David says, well, I think I know what's best. I know what's best for me. I know what's best for my family. I know what's best. And I don't tell you, I've seen a lot of folks get in a lot of trouble by doing what they thought was best. You better consult God. You better pray. You better check up on it. You better look before you make those decisions. Let me just throw this in here as a third thought. Check out the grass. And what I mean is, it ain't always greener on the other side. I mean, we look at stuff and say, boy, I think that's it right there. Looky over there. Look how they're doing. Look what's going on over there. Look how that's working out for them. Look how they're prospering. Look how they're going. Oh, man, hey, it's got to be right because look at the end result for them. Can I tell you, the grass being greener over there on the other side, let me tell you, a lot of times, you think that that's better. You think that that'll be better. You think. But can I tell you, when David got over here on the other side where he thought the grass was going, can I tell you, it didn't get rid of his problems, did it? And as you're going to see, it's going to make his problems worse before they get better. But David's like, oh man. Here, listen to what he says there in verse number 1. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. I know what's best. I'm going to go over there. Because when I go over there, what did he say? He said, and Saul shall despair of me. Saul's going to he's going to write me off. He's going to forget about chasing me. It's, you know, that ain't going to happen anymore. And he's not going to seek me anymore in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And that's what he thinks. Here's what I'm going to do. Oh, let me tell you, friend, you better make sure before your faith starts to flicker, you better check on your heart. Because you know what the Bible tells about a man's heart? A man's heart is deceitful above all things. I mean, your heart can be wicked. Your heart can be wrong. Your heart can be, turning you in the wrong direction. If you're not careful, what you think, your little thinking, and it'll sound sweet, and it'll look cloud puffy, and it'll look bright and sunshine. Brother, you better check up and check with God. Again, let's talk about Paul. Paul told the men that were sailing with him in Acts 27, when they were there in a port, he said, it is not good to sail at this time. I think you need to stay in the port. But the captain of the ship knew better than Paul. I think, my thinking's better. Who is he, by the way? I'm the captain. Who's this guy? He's just an old preacher. Don't listen to him. I know what I'm doing. And we'll just get out and we'll sail. And you know what the Bible tells you there in chapter number 27? It says that they thought they had achieved their purpose. It said, and the south wind blew softly. And things started rolling along and looking sweet. But you know what happens in the next verse? Then a stormy problem came in the name of your Rockladen. A storm, a tempest, a wind, and a blackness came upon them. And brother, they were at sea in peril for over 2 weeks. And you know what that captain probably said? But I thought, yeah. Can I tell y'all something? Old brother Steve's been there too. But I thought, it's not up to us to do that kind of thinking. You better check with God. And if you don't, then you can see, as I say, David's faith begins to flicker. Second of all, let's look at this. His faith falls further. Look, if you will, on down here in verse number 5. It says, verse number 4, the Philistines, verse number 4, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. Well, that part of things kind of worked out pretty good, didn't it? And David said unto Achish. Now, he's gone into the land of the Philistines. He's joined up with Israel's sworn enemies. And David said unto Achish, listen, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And it says that then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. First of all, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice David's faith falling further because he's asking for grace from the wrong one. You see what he says there? He says, if I have now found grace in thine eyes. Ooh, I'd rather go back to Genesis chapter number 6 where it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm telling you, when you, there'll be people down here. And they may eat you up, and they may applaud you, and they may act like they love you, and they may do all kinds of things. And you say, oh, it looks like I found grace in their eye. No, sirree. Don't let that fool you. Don't let that trick you. Because, look, all that's doing is causing him to have his faith turn more into his thinking, his way, and what he's going to do rather than trust in the Lord. And that's where David's going. It's like, boy, this is easy. Well, I got this figured out. I don't think I need God anymore. Amen? I'm telling you, there are times that you and I will get there if we're not careful. And he is asking for grace from the wrong person. Not only that, he's asking for some ground from the wrong place. Do you see what David has done? He said, now if I found grace in thine eyes, he said, let the people of Philistine give me a place in some town in the country. Let me stay here. Let me dwell over here with you guys. Because I can see this grass. Boy, it looks a whole lot greener. Everything's looking up. Woo! And you know what he's doing? He's asking for some ground from the wrong place. Amen? Oh, preacher, can't I just go over there and see them and deal with them and be part? Let me go down there at the bar with that crowd. I'll go down there and we'll witness. We'll talk about the Lord. Yeah. Let me tell you all about God while we're drinking the Bud Light. Ain't that the stupidest thing you ever heard in your life? I mean, I think that's foolish. I think that's the poorest representation for Christ anybody can give. Amen? I mean, you're looking for a place. I mean, you're looking for some ground, and you're looking in the wrong place. You need to be solid and sure and faithful to God because He sure has been good to you. And can I tell you, God's been good to David right here. God, you know, if this was me, I'm getting ready to ride him off. Amen. Aren't you glad God's faithful? Even when David, like me and you, has done some foolish stuff. But here's David. He said, well, you know, maybe y'all could give me some property. Give me, and really what he's asking for, he said, give me a town in this country. Give me a whole place. I want to throw out my stakes and settle down here. Do you remember what happened in the book of Genesis? Abraham and Lot had to part their ways. And Abraham said, look, Lot, you pick which way you are. And I'll go the other way. And Lot began to look. and the grass looked greener over there towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked out there in the well-watered plains of Mamre, and he said, you know what, Abraham, Uncle Abraham? He said, I'm going to go over here. Looks good to me over here. I think I'll go. And you see the end of that whole story. I mean, it ended miserably with destruction, the loss of his family part of it, and then what was left, his daughters commit incest with him, and they have children. And there's a mess out of that whole thing. But that grass sure did look green over yonder. Amen. Asking for ground from the wrong place. That isn't where you need to be. It isn't where you need to be. And I'm telling you, sometimes in your faithfulness and in your faith toward God, there are some places you just don't need to be. Amen. You don't need to go there. You and I need to understand, hey, God's got a place and He's got a plan and He knows what He's doing. But can you see that David now, he's failing from that plan. He's gone from that plan. I mean, listen, think about it. I mean, just for a minute, think about this. And I understand this, and I guess you do too. David is, he's really an outcast from Israel. All of the people he fought there that loved him, they've all turned against him. He's had to take his family. His mom and dad don't even live there anymore. And he said, take them over to Moab. If you remember here a few chapters ago, he took his mom and dad, took them to Moab. And who knows what has happened to their family properties and all the things that they did on. What's happened? We don't know. And buddy, he's in a hard place. But buddy, sometimes you just got to trust God. You got to trust God. And here he is. Well, I'm going to go over here and ask them for a place. He's gone to the wrong people. He's asking for the wrong place. And look, he's asking for growth in the wrong time. Look what it says there. It says, verse number 6, it said, and Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. But listen, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. I mean, here he is. He's gone to the place where he thinks he's going to grow. Oh, God bless us over here. You don't need to be there. You don't need to be there. And you sure don't. You're not going to have any growth when you get there. But he, what did he do? I'd say if you look at it, he wasted an entire year and a third, okay, 4 months. A year plus 4 months, he has wasted his time. You think about the story of Ruth. And you remember her husband and Naomi, or not Ruth's husband, but Naomi's husband. And they go down to the land of Moab, and they didn't need to go there. But you know why? Well, it looks better over there. We're having a famine over there. Let's go there. It looks better there. They go down there, and you know what they did? He said, if you read in it, he said they were going to sojourn. But you know what they wound up doing? Dwelling in that land. They stayed and they stayed and they stayed and they stayed. And you know the old saying, sin will take you farther than you intended to go. Sin will keep you longer than you intended to stay. And then sin will cost you more than you intended to pay. And here, Naomi loses her husband. Naomi loses her 2 sons, one of her daughter-in-laws, and only one person comes. I'm glad for God's grace, aren't you? But that was a mess in that land. And I'm just telling you, you're not going to get growth in the wrong place in the wrong time. It's just not going to happen. I mean, boy, old David said, boy, give it to us, and we'll go over there. And he spent an entire year and 4 months in a strange land. And we're going to see, nothing good came out of it, okay? Nothing good. So his faith falls apart. Third, his faith fades as failure comes. Now, I mean, here he is. If you want to say he's drifting. He's drifting in his faith. He's drifting away from God. He's drifting, and he's getting... Look what happens next. This is one of the worst incidences in the life of David, one of the worst things that you and I agree. Look in verses number 8 and 9. And David and his men went up. Now, they've got this place called Ziklag. They've got it there. I don't know. I don't know. I've read and tried to study some on this and see what. And some of the people, commentary, say that David and his men may have needed supplies, and they may have needed goods, and they may have needed cattle. Okay, they might have needed those things. But listen to this. David and his men went up, and they invaded the Geshurites, and the Gezerites, and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even into the land of Egypt. Now, these are some of the people that were there in that land when Joshua came in to overtake and divide up the land for the people of Israel. But they didn't get rid of everybody. These people remained behind. So David and his men go up, and look in verse number 9. One of the worst thoughts and things in the life of David. And David smote the land. Listen. And neither man nor woman alive. And took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel and returned and came to Achish. I mean, here they go in and look. I mean, his faith. I want you to look at this conflict. Now, as I say, surely these are some people that, well, I'm going to say they're the enemies of Israel. They didn't like Israel. They wasn't friends of Israel. And I'm at a loss as to why David said, let's go clean house. But he does. He goes up to where, and this is three different cities, let's say. Three different cities. It's a city where you see the Geshurites, and then the Gezites, and then the Amalekites. I mean, there's three different groups there, three different cities. And David goes in, and I want you to notice the way that this thing is conquested. He goes in and he takes this entire city out first. And then he takes his men and he goes and takes out the second entire city. And then he goes and thirdly takes out that third entire city. And I just let these words soak in on you. Verse number 9, and David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive. I mean, that hurts my heart. When I think of who David is and what a great king and what a great man, and he went in and they killed everybody in this conflict. And for his conquest, I want you to notice the conduct that he has during this time. He kills them all. Now, you talk about here recently, you know, you remember here, I don't know, when presidential election, they're talking about people coming across the border and the government taking babies away from mamas. Yeah, well, you get this picture. David took babies away from mamas and daddies, and he killed them. And he killed the mamas. And he killed the daddies. And they killed everybody. Boy, that's tough. I'll just tell you, we'll just put it this way. I'll see David as a cruel individual on this day. I mean, can you imagine? They hadn't done anything to him. I understand. They are probably, and you know, David could have probably looked at his men and said, you know what? These are enemies perpetually of the people of Israel. And let me just tell you, I think it'd be okay with God if we just go in there and slaughter them all. I don't know about that. But David somehow talked his men into going in there and say, the words just say it better than I can. It said, and he left neither man nor woman. It might as well say, or child. I mean, he killed them all. And he took away their sheep, their oxen, their asses, their camels, all of their clothing, their apparel, and he returned. And he came to Achish. And in that's cruel. That's one of the worst things I've ever heard in the life of David. And you're telling me he's a man after God's own heart? Wow, his faith's all messed up at this point. His faith is faith. I want you to notice this last thing. I'm just saying his faith finished. His faith is finished. Listen to what it says. He comes to this king, the king there at Gath, and he comes before him, and look, listen to what he says. And Achish said, "Whither have you made a road today? What kind of your men? I can tell your men's been out fighting, and y'all been in it. Where you been fighting? What y'all do today?" And David said, "Well, we fought against the south of Judah, really, and against the south of Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites." Guess what that is? He's lying to make a show. I mean, he just tells a lie. You know what it looks like? It looks like he's got pretty good at it. I mean, he lied before. You remember what he did to the king of the Philistines before when he came in? He wasn't sure, started acting like he's crazy and slobbering and doing all that kind of stuff, and they got him away from him. You remember that? Well, he was lying then, and he's lied a couple of more times. You know what? He's getting good at this. He's lying to make a show. He did not do what he's lying. He's lying to put on a performance before this king. He said, "Well, we went over and we attacked some of those Jews." That's who he's naming. And the people of Judah, the south of Judah. I went to the south part of Judah. I went to the Jerahmeelites and against the Kenites. That's all Jewish territory, Jewish. But he didn't do any such thing. He killed all those other innocent people. I mean, I'll say innocent, but however you want to take that. But he hasn't done this. He's just done all that. He's just lying to make a show. But not only is he lying about, let me tell you, he's living in the shadows. Look what it says in verse number 11. "And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will his manner be all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." David said, "Well, I got a lie to kind of cover our tracks." And then you know what that leads? That leads him to living in the shadows of those lies. I mean, he killed everybody because he said, "Well, if one of them gets loose and goes over, they'll tell, and then we'll be in trouble. So y'all kill everybody. Take everything." Man, that just still doesn't look like a man of God to me, does it to you? And that's where David is. And you know what that leaves him? It causes him to be a man that's leaving a stink. Listen to what Achish said. And Achish believed David. Wow. He's a good liar. He got Achish to believe. And Achish believed David, saying, "He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever." Achish turns around to his captains and his men. He said, "Boys, look at old David. Look what he's done. He's gone over and he's attacked all them Jews. He's killed a bunch of them. He's going to be with us for a long time. He's going to be our man. He's one of us now." And he bought that lie, hook, line, and sinker. I want you to notice what he said in the middle of that. "He hath made his people Israel." David has made his own people Israel utterly to abhor him. And the reason I say this, leaving a stink, that word to abhor means to stink. I mean, David, Achish thinks, boy, old David has really stunk it up with his people over there. They probably all hate him. They want to kill him. And he's been an enemy to them. Now he'll be for us. And I'm telling you, David stirred up so much stuff and told so many lies and got so much stuff. I'm just telling you, he's as far backslid as anybody could ever be. And you don't think a person that's been close to God, I mean, this is the same guy that threw a rock and killed Goliath. This is the same guy that has been the champion of Israel. This is the same guy that led the forces and fought against the Philistines. And now he's the biggest liar and he's backing up and he's backslidden on God. He don't know what he is. And I want to tell you this. I think you could see it. If we could really look in his heart at this point, I believe you could see the fear that's on the inside of David. David is fearful, and he's here being before Achish. He's deceitful. He's lying. He's untrustworthy. And he's scared to death about what's going to happen next. And we're going to get into the next chapter and see some further things in David's life. But man, he's in a mess. Let me just tell you. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if we're not careful, some of us can mess up big time before the Lord. Even before when we had done things and been great and, you know, God was with us and all that. I mean, can you imagine? David said, all that, done all this stuff. And this is the David that said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall. That's the same David. This is the same David that wrote psalms of praise and songs of glory toward God. That's the same David. But can I tell you, even godly and right people sometimes can really foul up their lives if they're not careful. If it wasn't for the good grace of God, no telling how many of us could be in that kind of shape. I mean, and there's no telling how many people outside these doors sitting at their house, and they're all folded arms and got their lip pooched out, and they're mad and they're upset, and they've decided it's this and they thought that, and they're going to jump on the other side and the grass is green. And they've just really, you know what Paul talked about, some of those men that followed him? He said they have made their faith shipwreck. And that's exactly where David's headed. And boy, if God didn't have other plans, David could be left in a mess with a sinking ship. Let me just tell you, and you know, we're not going to leave him there. Thank God for that. We're not going to leave him there. But man, David has sunk to some new lows here, hasn't he? A man we thought highly of and respected, thought well of, but he's made a whole mess of his life. Amen? Amen. We're going to sing a verse of a song. If you need to come pray about some things, then that'll be all right. But we'll just 157, okay? 157, we'll sing a